Good afternoon, listeners, and thank you for joining us on WISR 680 AM. I'm Tyler Friel, and we're continuing on with our candidate interviews as we are meeting candidates who are running in contested primary contests for this upcoming election on June 2nd. And we are joined on the phone by current state representative and candidate for the Republican primary in the 8th Legislative District. He's Tim Bonner. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon.
Surely, Tyler. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you and the voters of the 8th District. So glad to be with you today.
Okay, Tim, I'll start out with the same question that I've asked every candidate is why you currently are a state representative, but why you want to be a state representative?
Well, I knew in third grade that I wasn't going to be a Major League Baseball player. So I had a strong interest, even at that age, to become an attorney, with a thought that I would ultimately seek elective office in the legislature. So it's been a long-held dream to serve in the legislature, and the opportunity arose, and it was a very good time in my life, and I'm looking to serve our community in a broader role in Harrisburg. I have been serving our community for the past 40 years as an attorney in different governmental and charitable positions. But I thought I'd like that opportunity to go to Harrisburg and represent our community's interest in the state legislature.
Tim, I've also asked this from every candidate, too. Normally, some people get into campaigns and get into government because they have one big issue that they really feel is important to them. Is there one big policy issue that you would hope to accomplish during your time in Harrisburg?
No, I didn't seek the office with the thought that there was one major policy issue that I would like to accomplish. I sought the position more so because I have an overall interest in government and in serving the people. And in particular, I bring a great deal of expertise in the subjects that come before the state legislature. I have been a prosecutor for nearly 20 years, so I have a significant background in criminal justice. I also have significant background in education, having served as general counsel for Grove City College for 35 years, having taught at Grove City College, and having represented many school boards in the 8th District. And I also have a strong background in healthcare. I have been chairperson of the Grove City Medical Center for the past 40 years, and I have recently assisted in the transition of Grove City Medical Center into the Allegheny Health Network, where I now serve on the Allegheny Health Network Board. So the three major issues that the state legislature deals with in crime and education and health care, I have a strong background that I think can be of assistance in resolving issues at the state level.
We're talking with Tim Bonner. He is the current state representative and is currently seeking the seat in the Republican Party for the 8th Legislative District. Tim, obviously, the coronavirus, COVID-19, is the one big major issue facing the state. But I wanted to get your thoughts on how the state has handled their response so far to the coronavirus.
I think initially the governor acted appropriately in taking strong action to limit businesses in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, particularly until we got a firm idea of how extensive the pandemic may be and what were the best approaches to dealing with the pandemic. But I think that time period has passed some time ago, and the governor should have been more receptive to working with the state legislature and attempting to come to an agreement on how the pandemic should be handled. So since his initial decision declaring the emergency and significantly clamping down on businesses, which, interestingly, we have been the most restricted state in the United States relative to economic activity, I think the governor has failed the state in trusting citizens to make good decisions, in implementing guidelines that are well accepted in the medical community, as developed by the Center for Disease Control, and in setting up a program between essential and non-essential businesses, which, frankly, we all feel that in our work environment, we're all essential to the economy. The governor's waiver program, then, has rightfully come under strong criticism. He has set arbitrary rules. No one knows how you can obtain a waiver or why a waiver was granted. Some businesses have been granted waivers. Others have not. Interestingly, the governor's own business, which he previously worked at, a cabinetry business, was initially granted a waiver, and yet many question how that was more essential than some other businesses which were not granted a waiver. So it has been a very confusing implementation of the policy and the handling of the emergency crisis. There hasn't been very much transparency by the governor in answering questions about why certain economic activity is allowed and why other economic activity is not allowed. So it's been disappointing the governor hasn't followed the clear guidelines set by the federal government, which nearly all other states have followed. I think it would have been a much more transparent process and one that we would have all accepted more readily if we had known guidelines. I know, for example, that other states have been much more open and successful with areas of the economy such as real estate, construction, and auto sales than Pennsylvania has. As I say, we have been probably the most restricted state in the nation, and as a result, our unemployment is extremely high. We're at approximately 2.1 million workers out of work in Pennsylvania. And that's going to ultimately be an extremely heavy burden on our tax system. And I'm very concerned about not only the ability of private industry and businesses to recover, but also the ability of our state and local governments to recover from this crisis as well. They go hand in hand, and without people working, there are no tax revenues. And we're projecting a $3 to $5 billion shortfall in this particular budget. And people need these services, many of the services being related to health care. So our long-term health is at issue here, too, with the governor's overly restrictive clampdown on economic activity.
Well, and you brought up the point that I was going to ask about you next, but we'll maybe dive into some specifics about it. With the state facing that significant budget shortfall, what type of actions are on the table? What do you believe that the state legislature can do, or perhaps even programs that they'll have to cut in order to make a balanced budget eventually down the line?
Well, interestingly, already we are getting, and understandably so, requests from many agencies that state government does fund that they have a lack of their normal resources from typical contributors or payers within their systems, and they're looking for increased help from the state government. And yet the state government itself does not have the tax revenues that we were expecting. Until the governor's emergency was declared, we were running in the black. We expected to have some reserves increased during this budget year, but as I say, now we're expecting a $3 to $5 billion shortfall. And frankly, we don't have the tax revenues to meet those requests of those agencies who are knowingly hurting due to their own lack of funds from normal sources. Unlike the federal government, the state government cannot print money. And and that's quite a fallacy, too. I know the federal government feels that they solve many of our problems just by printing more money. The state government doesn't have a printing press to do that. So we deal in truly real dollars at the state level. And frankly, right now, we don't have them. And it is important that our economy get up and running as soon as possible. to generate the revenues, much of that revenue going to health care within Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania administers the Medicaid program, many of these dollars go into medical expenses for the poor and the elderly, and in subsidization of nursing home expenses as well. And right now, we are facing strong difficulties in meeting our obligations. The intent right now is to pass a temporary budget, a resolution that would last approximately 6 months. With the postponement of tax collections, we expect to see revenues coming in August rather than the springtime, as normally would happen. So we should have a better idea how much of a shortfall we're going to have in 6 months as opposed to right now, and then take whatever steps are necessary to attempt to do what the Constitution requires us to do, and that is to balance the budget in Pennsylvania. Unlike the federal government, which has no constitutional provision of a balanced budget, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania does have that requirement, and I know in my role as a state legislator, I'm going to make certain that we do balance the budget. And unfortunately, this year, that process is going to require sacrifices from all of us. As we've said all along, we're all in this together, and that includes some of the ill effects of this pandemic. And so we're all in it together. We're going to face it, and we're going to deal with it, and then we're going to move forward to greater success.
We're talking with Tim Bonner. He is a Republican, a state representative for the 8th Legislative District and in the Republican primary for this June 2nd election. Again, sort of off the heels of that, Tim, Butler County has two higher education institutions, Butler County Community College and Slippery Rock University. Both of those schools right now facing smaller enrollments currently. And so as they are getting ready for the fall and getting ready for a long-term health, what's your role and how much funding they should get? Should there be an increase? Should there be a decrease? What is the state of higher education in Pennsylvania?
Well, I know right now we're hopeful that the schools will reopen in the fall and that the students will come back to the schools and start to further their education. That's important for the future of the Commonwealth as well. But relative to increased funds for higher education, that will be very difficult to do under these budgetary constraints. We're hopeful that the school systems, both at the higher level and K through 12, the spending can be held in line because the funds just are not there at this time, and we can't manufacture those funds to meet this crisis. So we're hopeful that our state system educational leaders will take the appropriate steps to curb any spending increases under this crisis.
Well, Tim, I'll give you your final opportunity here to make your pitch to voters and why you should be sent back to Harrisburg.
Well, I've been in Harrisburg now about 6 weeks. So my work has just begun for the citizens of the 8th District, and I would like the opportunity to continue to work on your behalf, to fight for the working individual, and to seek some resolution to this crisis and issues that we will be dealing with in the future. I believe that I have the necessary background to bring some level of expertise and that I can be a strong voice on the floor of the State House for the residents of the 8th District.
Tim, thank you for your time, and best of luck.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate your time as well.